scores! Gilmore scores! The final 3 laps!
Off the glass in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla in the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Happy Friday. Summer is officially underway. It is Friday, June 21st. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk. Steinberg, Aaron Vickers. And it's time for the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Hello, Vix.
Hello, Patty. How are you doing today?
I am good. Friday, June 21st, which means I did the math and double-checked it. We are exactly 1 week, 7 days from the 2024 NHL Draft, which goes Friday, June 28th at the Sphere in Las Vegas. And because we're pivoting to full-on draft coverage next week, starting Tuesday from Vegas, today is the perfect day to do our comprehensive Flames Talk draft preview. And we have got one of the best, foremost draft authorities with us in studio on this Friday. He is not only from NHL.com, he's also the grandmaster of... No? Grandmaster?
That's
Archduke. The Archduke of FC hockey.
Nope. No. Not that one either.
Okay, we won't do that either. He is the purveyor and the head of FC hockey. Aaron Vickers is not only the co-host of Flames Talk, but on this Friday is also our draft expert. You and I will be at the draft in Vegas next week, broadcasting Flames Talk from all over the place in Vegas. We have got four outstanding sponsors for our draft coverage in 2024, including All Kind Door Services Limited, your go-to service company for the last 35 years, offering 24-hour emergency service for all your door repairs, anything that swings, slides, or rolls. Visit allkinddoorservices.com. And I think I'm pretty ready for the draft. Markstrom is behind us. That's been figured out. I'm ready for this coming week. I'm ready for Friday and Saturday of next week. I'm ready for the draft. Are you?
I'm so ready. I showed up an hour early today just in eager anticipation of getting the opportunity to just burn through an hour of just talking straight draft.
FC Hockey is on Twitter, at FC Hockey. The website, NHLEntryDraft.com. And the FC Hockey Draft Guide is the official draft guide of Sportsnet 960 and our draft coverage. So surf on over to NHLEntryDraft.com and go download the draft guide right now. But before you do that, the purveyor has some news for you because we've got a way that you can get a good little discount on this year's draft guide as well.
Ooh, you're going to make me plug it. All right. Surf on over to NHLEntryDraft.com, and as you're hitting checkout, use the promo code SN960. Save yourself 40% off the cover price. That's site-wide, too, so whatever else you want to buy while you're there, have at her.
SN960 is the promo code.
You bet it.
40% off site-wide, including the 2024 draft guide, which is comprehensive. Tell us a little bit more about the draft guide. And like you're a Flames fan. Flames have got 8 picks in the top 4 rounds. They've got 2 in the first round. Who knows what other movement we see. If you're a Flames fan and you're super interested in this year's draft, why is the FC Hockey draft guide the... kind of the Bible for them?
Well, for us, we rank 300 prospects, full profiles on the top 201. That's just a format situation. 201 is kind of a random number, I know, but we have that. We have features on all the top prospects. We do our popular scout series. We do it every year that highlights our individual scouts and what player impressed them, what disappointed them, who surprised them. We also do in best in class. And also, just to mention, inside those profiles, we do full letter ratings on individual characteristics, individual skill levels. So you paint a really good picture inside of what the Calgary Flames are getting at, you know, number 9, at number 28, 41, 62, whatever it is. That guy will be in our guide, and you'll get the immediate scouting report on what's just been added to the Calgary Flames prospect pool.
So the website, NHLEntryDraft.com, the promo code SN960 for 40% off the 2024 NHL Draft Guide at FC Hockey. get your texts in at 960-960. We're going to dive in on some things for the first half of the hour. And then second half, if you're listening live, just going to fire some rapid-fire questions at Vix. And you got draft questions. You got questions about prospects, where guys might fall, strengths, weaknesses, so on and so forth. 960-960. Get your texts in for Vickers a little bit later on this hour. We'll go rapid-fire on your draft questions at 960-960. But where should we start? I guess start overarching, and we've asked a lot of draft experts and a lot of different scouts over the last few weeks about this, but the overarching question is always, like, how do you view this draft class? Earlier this week, Dan Mara from NHL Central Scouting answered that question, so on and so forth. So how does FC Hockey view the class of 2024?
Well, for me, there's a clear number one, and I don't think that's any surprise to anybody listening or anybody even remotely in the realm of catching up on some NHL draft chatter, and that's Macklin Celebrini, of course. But then once after you get past him, I think it's almost like the Wild West of the NHL draft. I'm not sure I've seen a draft this wide open after number one. Having said that, like, we're pretty firm that Ivan Demidov will emerge as the best number two in this draft. Macklin Celebrini is probably closer to a Connor Bedard than he is a Juraj Slafkovský or an Alexei Lafreniere. So you get Celebrini. For us, Demidov's a clear number two, but at the same time, that doesn't guarantee that's what's going to happen on draft day, because from two to about 11 or 12, this is as wide open a draft as I can remember. And I don't even want to say in recent history. We've been doing this since 2008, and I don't necessarily recall me having such a lack of feel for, okay, this player is going to go to this team at two. This player is going to go to this team at three. That's right through to 11 or 12. Like, there are so many, I don't want to say interchangeable parts, but there, if you're going shopping, if you're an NHL GM and you're looking at your prospect pool and you want an offensive defenseman, or you want an absolutely agitating winger with scoring ability, or you want pure finesse, or you want a big center, or you want a two-way center, you want a quote-unquote rover on defense, sort of like a fourth forward, there is almost like a buffet of a choose your own adventure in terms of what kind of prospect you want. And that's why it's so wide open. That's why it's going to be so unpredictable. And that's why it's going to be so exciting. I mean, here we are, as you mentioned, 1 week out. I'd like to just get to Vegas already and let's do this, because I am just amped up for this one.
So then there's the question about those ledges or those shelves, the separations. And you always hear people talk about ledges, and that's a draft nerd word. And I say draft nerd in a very good way, in a non-derogatory way. For the draft layman like you, or perhaps not like me and perhaps you, I don't want to say for you. I am a draft layman. I'll be the first to tell you that this is, you know, I do my research and I read the profiles and I've got a good idea on the draft class going in, but I'm not doing the scouting. I don't know these guys inside and out. So that's why I defer to people who do the research and comb through the video and comb through the scouting reports, so on and so forth. But when we talk about ledges, we talk about kind of the separation where you have, obviously, Macklin Celebrini's in a class of his own. And then what's the separation where it's not a whole lot between players? And then where's that next drop? And where's that next drop? So on and so forth. And that's always a really interesting way to frame where a team might be and why a team might move up or might move down in a certain draft class. Where does FC Hockey see this year's shelves or ledges?
Yeah, once you clear Macklin Celebrini in a class of his own, I think you're looking at quite literally interchangeable parts depending on what piques a GM's interest, from number two all the way down to number 13, number 14. And it depends on how you have these guys. There are a lot of sort of, again, interchangeable parts. So others might have a little bit of a different ledge. But for me, it starts at Ivan Demidov. And then it goes all the way down to, we're a little bit lower on Tiji Ginla. We've got him at 13. But everywhere in between, any of these guys between number two and number 13, wouldn't shock me to see 13 go two or three. It wouldn't shock me to see two fall to six. So on and so forth. Like, these are so close, razor thin margins between these prospects that I don't even necessarily, it's kind of funny to kind of think, but we could have just went 2A, 2B, 2C, 2D, 2E, 2F, because quite literally you could just draw names out of a hat and you're really splitting hairs. And this is why, as it pertains to the Calgary Flames sitting at number nine, I don't think they necessarily need to move at all from that number nine spot to get somebody that's going to be number two or number three on their list. Because we all know in the public sphere, lists can somewhat tend to look the same. It's the exact opposite when you get to draft lists on the NHL floor, where they vary so wildly. And we always hear, and it always seems like a cliche, and it's always kind of a bit of an eye roll, but it's like, yeah, we got a guy that was top five on our list or top on the list. It's going to be dead true this year because the list for teams are going to be so varied. And like even when I'm looking at the ledges and going, okay, well, 2 to 13-ish, that leaves like Beckett Senecky outside, Trevor Connolly outside. That has Cole Eiserman tucked just inside, but I know some outlets, some agencies aren't so high on him. Like, there are a lot of quality players that it wouldn't surprise me if somebody we have ranked from 14 to 20 jumps into the top 10 as well.
Is that, is it more kind of jammed up and bunched together than most draft classes? And you've been doing this for, what, 15 years now? You've been putting this together. You know, when you put the draft guide together each and every year, does it feel more kind of... the separation's that small and that everything is kind of jumbled up more than other draft classes?
Yeah, and it was kind of, to be honest, it was kind of tough getting our list in order because of that. And we'll do it as a group. We'll do it as a consensus. We've got over 20 scouts on our staff, regional scouts, crossover scouts, goaltending scouts. And coming up with our list, it was kind of pretty tricky because at this point, all the work's been done. Like, we've got over 1,000 single game views loaded on the site. The amount of games we've seen both live and in person is pretty impressive. I was going to say kind of gross, but I guess there's two ways you can look at that. And when it comes to forming the list, it's like, okay, well, how much are we splitting hairs on the number of defensemen we have ranked in the top 10 in the order that we have them? And, you know, how do you factor in, okay, where is Berkeley Catton going to be versus a Cole Eiserman or a Constant Hellenius, so on and so forth? Like, the margins between these like top 12 are so thin that you're trying to basically nitpick them to death in order to find a reason to raise them up in the rankings or find a reason to drop them in the rankings. And I think that's what made it so difficult this year in terms of trying to get our list in the order that we're most comfortable, is just because you're right. The margins are so thin that it's not an exaggeration when I say you could probably put them in a hat and pick them out and nobody's going to bat an eye twice and say, wow, that is absolutely crazy.
Which is why this is the dumbest draft ever to predict, right?
Yes. And yeah, I made the joke a couple of weeks ago on Flames Talk. There was it the 2021 draft where we
2020.
Did it? 2020,
yeah,
where...
Yeah. The first ever marathon 17-day draft in 2020. No, that was... We were sitting upstairs, you, right. Will, me, doing the draft, and we were doing... That was a virtual draft, so we were doing it kind of from our makeshift studio, and I think you nailed like 24 of the first 31 that that they had that year.
I might not go 2 for 2. Like, I've got a 50-50 shot at getting
the number 2 pick,
right?
You're going to go one for one.
Everybody is. But after that, it's going to be hilarious when I'm like, oh, I think they should go here. And it's like, oh, okay, you're wrong. Next one. Oh, okay, you're wrong. Columbus should go with this guy. Oh, okay, you're wrong. And everybody listening is going to be like, how bad is this guy?
Who's this expert they're using?
Exactly. Like,
no, but
get him off the air.
I think everybody knows that.
Yes.
And the NHL draft is so different than even the NFL draft when it comes... Like, mock drafting in the NFL is not easy, but you've got a pretty good idea of, okay, we know for, like, the Cardinals at number 4, and I'm not talking about this year's draft, I'm just throwing... The Cardinals at 4, well, they're going to be taking a quarterback at 4. Like, you know these things, and it's a shock when a team... Oh, they're going O-line at 3. Like, you know these things, whereas... Everybody thinks Montreal's going forward at 5, but there's no guarantee the Habs at 5th overall go with a forward. Maybe one of the defensemen ends up dropping, and they're like, well, hold on a second. Like, I'm trying to even think, like, Soleyev or maybe they had him number 2 on their board, and all of a sudden he's there at 5. Well, Montreal needs to take it forward. We're like, well, no, we're going to take the D-man because that's the top. So it's just so much harder to predict in the NHL the best of years, and this year seems even more difficult.
Well, and this doesn't even factor in the sort of off-the-board picks that we've seen in the top 10, top 15 over the course of the last couple of years. And I just even think back to last year in Nashville with Arizona taking defenseman Dmitry Simashev at number 6 overall and Daniil Boot at number 12. Those were off-the-board picks. Tom Willander going to the Vancouver Canucks at number 11 was kind of off-the-board. Detroit, going Nate Danielson at number 9. He was a player ranked sort of in the 20s. We haven't even factored in what happens if/when an NHL team picks somebody that's in the 20s or, you know, early 30s, because it happens almost like clockwork. Every year there's one or two or three players that end up going in the top 10 or the top 15 that certainly weren't on the radar at that point. So as jumbled as, you know, number 2 to number 13 or number 14 is, we still haven't accounted for the fact that when we're live from Vegas, something wonky is going to happen to completely throw this for a loop as well.
It is our Flames Talk 2024 NHL Draft Preview Show. Steinberg and Aaron Vickers of FC Hockey. The FC Hockey Draft Guide available at NHLEntryDraft.com right now up until the draft. And if you use the promo code on the site, SN960, 40% off the draft guide. And it is must read if you're a Flames fan and a draft nerd this year. And again, draft nerd in a good way. Let's get into some of the kind of nuances of this year's draft, because, you know, it feels like there are a lot of general managers, and maybe it's just because of the nature of this 24 draft class, but it feels like there are more general managers than normal talking about their first round pick being available leading up to the draft. Like, usually you hear the requisite, you know, if it's better for our team, we're not going to take it off the table. But, like, you've identified a number of teams that have thought about or have publicly said their first pick could be in play this year.
Yeah, publicly. And that's the one that shocks me. Like, Rick Dudley in Columbus admitted that there's some chatter around number 4. I don't know if he explicitly said that it was available and being shot, but he admitted that there was some noise around it. Bill Armstrong in Utah seems willing to part with number 6. Tom Fitzgerald has made it known that number 10 can be in play for the New Jersey Devils. We know that in this Calgary market better than most. And even Kevin Adams in Buffalo has talked about the possibility of moving number 11. And I've got a couple different theories on it. One is these groupings are so tight. Like, if you're Rick Dudley in Columbus and you've got 4 guys on your list, again, that you're splitting hairs on, what does it hurt to move back to number 8 or number 9? And particularly if you're going number 8, for example, and I'm just tossing numbers out there, I'm not associating or trying to create any rumors. But if you've got a list where you're sure you're going to get one of 4 guys and you really, at the end of the day, don't care which, why not to try to move back, still ensure that you're in that ledge that you personally have, and pick up more assets? So that sort of speaks to the degree of how tightly grouped these prospects are. The other one is I wonder if we've gotten to the point a little bit where probably about 365 days or so ago, this draft class wasn't considered to be an elite one. And as over the course of the season, and of course you get to the Hlinka in August, and then you get into league play, you get into the U18s in April, so on and so forth. I wonder, it did grow. The strength of the class, the opinion of the class was that it was stronger than it was firstly anticipated. But for me, in that grouping, after you get from Macklin, Celebrini, to me, there's only one player, and that is Celebrini, that is guaranteed to be, and guaranteed is a loose word because, you know, there's still a lot to go in his development, but quote unquote guaranteed to be a superstar. And then you've got certain questions about certain other prospects as you go. And for the most part, you have that any given year, but I think it's probably been amplified a little bit more. So I wonder if the bloom hasn't come off the rose just slightly, where teams are willing to either move down or move back or look for assets in the 2025 draft, just because they aren't 100% enamored with the player that they might get at their pick as well.
Well, do you want to, when we get into specific players, do we want to get into the specific player?
Because I mean, as well, it's going to come up anyway.
The Flames aren't selecting Macklin Celebrini. I think we know that, but they might have a chance at selecting Tiija Ginla. As you mentioned on the FC Hockey Draft Guide, Tiija Ginla ranked number 13.
Yes.
Which would mean that if it went according to the FC Hockey Draft Guide, that Tiij would be available for the Flames at number 9. What's your gut say when you factor in your rankings, factor in what we're hearing around the league? What's your gut say as to whether or not he's there at number 9? And if you're the Flames, what's your feeling on whether they should take him if that's the case?
I'm going to put a caveat on it because I try to ignore everything you hear, because typically anything from the NHL Draft Combine on that is made public in terms of Team X looking at Prospect Y, there's a lot of BSing going on. There's a lot of media manipulation, if you will. I'm not suggesting that the media itself is being manipulated, but GMs are trying to either get a leg up or get a feel for what other GMs are going to do. So sometimes there's stuff either leaked or explicitly said to the media that is just pure deception to see how another team will react. And Calgary needs to be very careful in this, particularly because if their desire, their ultimate desire is TJ Ginla, there are going to be temptations to move up in the draft to ensure it. Because like you said, Montreal, for example, is in a good spot and a good number where if they quote unquote leak a rumor that they're going Tej 100%, it puts pressure on Craig Conroy and the Calgary Flames to do something to ensure that that doesn't happen. But there's a lot of manipulation on that front to be wary of. Now, in terms of Tej himself, he was our fastest riser from last year at this time to this year. In our preliminary ranking, we had him as a potential second or third round pick. And that was coming off a difficult season in Seattle. Like, he didn't get a lot of playing time. He didn't get a lot of exposure. The move to Kelowna certainly helped him. He blossomed there. He continued to grow right from September onward. And the scouting report is pretty good on that. Like, I have no hesitation in saying that it wouldn't shock me one bit if he goes top five, top four. And it wouldn't shock me if he's available at 9. And again, that speaks one, because TJ Ginla is just that quality of a prospect. Mm-hmm. He's also in that grouping where, again, draw names out of a hat. Things are kind of, you know, pull the lottery balls out of the spinner there, and this is how the order is kind of going to go. But he is one of the rare talents in the draft that has that exceptional shooting ability, finesse. He can play in high-pressure situations. He's an absolute shot volume monster. And again, the strength of this draft, which adds a wrinkle to this, is its defense. Like, we could see 6 defensemen taken in the top 10 picks. Yep. There aren't a lot of high-end forwards available, which works in Ginla's favor in terms of potentially being a top 5 pick. But he's one of the rare forwards that can manipulate time and space in the offensive zone. And he's one of the best prospects I've seen this year in understanding when to make a play at the blue line and when to just dump it in and sort of, I don't want to say cut your losses, but live to fight another day. But the thing with him is his smarts and his IQ allows him to put pucks in great spot for himself to either be the first man in to retrieve that or for a teammate. So he's just got a real headiness to his game that not a lot of forwards have in this draft class. And I think that's what's going to make him coveted.
On his draft profile, you've got A-rate. Like, one of the cool things that the FC Hockey Draft Guide does is give grades on certain things right in the profiles. Skating, shot, playmaking, puck ability, hockey sense, and competitiveness. And you've got A grades for both shot and competitiveness, which that sounds like his dad, eh?
Yeah. At the same time, though, he's not his dad. I don't think he's nearly as physically menacing as Jerome was. And you only have to think back to the 2004 Stanley Cup final and ask Vinny LeCavalier what that's all about. But that was one of the calling cards of Jerome's game. And for me, Tej, and this is not a slight on Jerome, but Tej to me is more cerebral in his approach. Okay. Where Jerome used to be, well, I'm just going to go through you. Whereas I think Tej is more calculated attack.
This is why I like to throw these things out there.
And so, again, Jerome, I apologize. I do think, at least at that age, Tej has more of a cerebral approach. And to be honest, I think Jerome was more physically equipped to play the way in the style that Jerome plays, where I don't think Tej is necessarily there yet. Mm-hmm. Certainly he has the genetics to get there, but I think one of the things I appreciate most in Tej's game is his ability to kind of outthink opponents. That's not to say Jerome wasn't smart. Jerome could find just an inch of space on the ice that would allow him to release his shot. And Tej does have some of those qualities as well. But I just think in terms of at the level that Tej is at now, he's able to better manipulate the opponent into a mistake, whereas Jerome is going to physically force you into one.
Okay. Before we pivot and go to the text line, get your text in. We got a bunch in already at 960, 960. If you're listening live and you got draft questions for Aaron Vickers of FC Hockey, get them in. We're going to do that in the second half of this hour. It's our comprehensive draft preview leading up to the 2024 NHL draft, exactly 1 week away as we're talking right now. Flames also have the number 28 overall selection in the first round right now, and then 2 picks each in the second, third, and fourth round. As we go deeper into this draft, what catches your eye in terms of potential names you'd be interested in who could be available when the Flames are up at 28 and as they go a little deeper into the next rounds?
The lovely thing about number 28 is you're still going to get a really interesting player. And I know I'm going to guess you know where I'm going to go first, because I absolutely love Teddy Stiga, a forward from the National Team Development Program, ranked number 30th at FC Hockey. His motor is off the charts. His compete level, he just doesn't shut off. I'm not sure he knows how to dial it back at all. He's a mile a minute, has the speed, has the compete, has good instincts. And when I watch him, this isn't to say he's going to be a 30-goal scorer in the NHL, because when you're getting into the late first round, the expectations have to come down a bit. But he almost kind of reminds me of a faster Blake Coleman in the way that he goes about playing and trying to deliver an impact on the game his best way forward. So he's a guy that I would certainly watch. It wouldn't surprise me if he's gone, you know, 6, 7, 8 spots higher than the number 28. Aaron Kiviharu is another name that I would be worth taking a swing on. He's ranked number 35. He's a defenseman from Finland, had top five potential coming into the draft, or into the season, pardon me. Injuries absolutely derailed that, missed almost the entire year, came back in the U18s, looked good but not great, but that's a product of having not played in, I don't know, 6-ish months or so. He might be one of the best puck movers in the draft in terms of defensemen. The issue is he's 5'10" and 170 pounds. So there is definitely a boom or bust element to him, and it opens up a great debate. And we've kind of had it a little bit on Flames Talk, where it's no secret the Flames are in a rebuild / retool. It's no secret that the Flames need to hit on these draft picks to turn the returns for the likes of, you know, Elias Lindholm, Nikita Zadorov, Noah Hanifin, so on and so forth. You have to hit on these picks.
Yep.
But at the same time, how do you weigh the risk versus reward on a boom or bust prospect? Kiviharu's upside is unquestionable. His downside is he never plays a game. So how do you balance that? We need to hit on picks versus, wow, if we go after this guy, he could end up being a top five defenseman from this draft class, and we're getting him at number 28. But the downside is he might never play a game. So I think it's an interesting debate that the Calgary Flames will undoubtedly have in terms of, okay, risk versus reward. How do we manage this? Because the prospect pool for the Calgary Flames is going to be absolutely critical moving forward. And this is kind of the same debate you could have with a player like Cole Hutson, who's another option. We have him ranked 41. We're using a little bit more of the calculated approach in our ranking there, because he's another one of those boom or bust guys. He's the brother of Montreal Canadiens prospect, and I'm sure the name will be familiar, and Lane Hutson, who's been just phenomenal since being drafted by the Montreal Canadiens. And Cole is, it's almost a copy-paste. It's almost a clone situation where Cole Hutson could be one of the draft's best pure offensive guys, beautiful skater, great on his edges, but again, is undersized. So again, if you're going back, and Calgary Flames need players, they need to draw three or four players, which is a home run. Three players, you walk away from the draft with three prospects that end up being on your everyday NHL roster, you're over the moon. But the Calgary Flames need to stack a couple of those together to help this rebuild, retool along. Cole Hudson's a guy that could certainly be a number one power play defenseman, and maybe a number four that has to be paired with a Chris Tanev type, but he also might not make it at all. So there's a couple of interesting prospects in and around that number 28. And then you can kind of layer it back against a guy like Jet Luchenko, a forward who lives up to the name. Like, he's got wheels. I got to admit, I didn't really love him at the beginning of the season and at the CHL Top Prospects game, but he really grew on me, loved him at the U18s, was the most sportsmanlike player in the OHL. There aren't a lot of dynamic offensive elements to his game, but it almost feels like his downside is a Todd Marchant type, and you take that every day in a late first rounder. But again, it's the risk versus reward. Luchenko, for me, probably goes ahead of that Flames pick, but there's a chance that he's still available. But it'll be curious for me the direction that the Calgary Flames go with that pick, because there are some safer picks, and there are some absolute home run swings to take a cut on.
Great stuff so far. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. The FC Hockey Draft Guide is available online at NHLEntryDraft.com. Use the promo code SN960 for 40% off that draft guide. You've got the print-friendly version. You've also got the tablet-friendly version. You get them both when you make that purchase, as we are underway. This is your 2024 draft preview, a week out from the 2024 NHL Draft in Vegas. And next up, your text. Keep them coming at 960-960. We'll get to as many as we can. Questions on the draft for our draft expert, Aaron Vickers, when we come back. We're coming at you this hour on Flames Talk from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's our 2024 draft preview this hour on Flamestock. Steinberg and Aaron Vickers of NHL.com and FC Hockey. The FC Hockey Draft Guide is the official draft guide of our Sportsnet 960 draft coverage. Our draft coverage starts next week, as we'll be in Vegas for Flamestock next week, as we're talking on this June 21st. And our coverage is brought to you by four great sponsors, including Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property's secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. So we asked for your texts, and lots came in. Those who are listening live decided to ask some questions.
Worked out well.
So let's just dive in. Got questions for Aaron Vickers, the lead purveyor, the sole proprietor of FC Hockey at NHLEntryDraft.com, is going to answer all those questions. Let's get right into it. There's a few, like, what are the odds of drafting Tiche Ginla? We already got into that in the first half of this hour. So we won't hit that because we already have. So we'll kind of get away from the Tiche Ginla questions, but instead we'll try to get into some other ones. Let's read this one first of all, that says, is there any way that enough teams in the top eight go off the board, so to speak, for Caden Lindstrom of the Medicine Hat Tigers to be available at number eight? For reference, Lindstrom is listed at number eight on the FC Hockey rankings.
Yeah, I don't know how necessarily off the board I would call it. Again, we have him at number eight. Central Scouting has him as the number three ranked North American skater for the draft. He's going to be one of the first three forwards taken in the draft. I can't predict necessarily where, but it feels like he's going to be one of the top three. Ivan Demidov is going to be one of the top three. And then I'm curious to name the third between Berkeley Catton of the Spokane Chiefs and quite potentially Tiche Ginla as well. So the forward group, again, inside the top 10, inside the top 15, isn't nearly as strong as the blue line crop in this draft. And it's funny because we talk about it almost every year, where once the first goalie goes off the board, you typically see a run of goalies, whether it's either early or mid inside the second round, and suddenly you see three or four or five teams over the course of the next 10 picks make a goalie selection. I'll be really interested to see how it plays out in terms of the forwards, because there are only a handful of what I would call truly elite forwards in this draft class.
Dan and Cochran says, who is the best goalie in the draft? And it's funny, because, you know, Jordan Sigalet, the director of goaltending, like, if you ever see this guy at the Dome, you run into him at Winsport, wherever he might, I don't think I've ever seen Jordan Sigalet outside of a computer screen. Like, his head's always into a laptop, because he's always watching a goaltender from a league you'd never think of. He's watching a showcase of the third Finnish league, or he's in on the USHL, the season opening tournament, or he's watching right below the USHL, the
NAHL.
He's like the guy watches so many leagues that it would be a crime if the Flames didn't take a goaltender with one of their nine picks. My guess is that Jordan will be able to get the scouting staff to get one goaltender in. You know, the Flames kind of have their scouting staff for skaters, and then Jordan Sigalet heads up the scouting staff for goaltenders. And my guess is that we'll see a goaltender go. Siggy does way too much work for them not to take a goaltender. So we'll see. Who is the best goalie in this year's draft?
First of all, I just want to touch on Siggy a little bit, because I will almost bet you a beer that the sixth round pick, number 170 overall to the Flames, is a goalie. That's the Jordan Sigalet pick. And just to talk about how he's always got his nose in a computer, Yegor Yegorov last season.
And go look at Yegor Yegorov's numbers this year.
He was the third string goalie in the MHL last season, and Jordan Sigalet plucks him out. Like, there is not a goalie that he hasn't seen. Now,
the amount of research that he did on Valtteri Ignatju before they signed him out of the Swedish league, and the amount that he was researching that guy, The Flames do their due diligence times 2,000 when it comes to the goaltending department.
Yeah, so for us to get back on track here, Emil Vinny, a Finnish goaltender, is tops on our list at number 64. We've got Carter George of the Owensow in attack in the OHL at 76. But I think the goalie, like, low-key, our goalie scouting staff, and particularly one of our scouts is just Evan Gardner from the Saskatoon Blades. Like, it would probably floor him if he doesn't go in the top three in terms of the goaltenders. Now, this isn't a goaltending class that's blessed with a surefire first rounder, even Vinny, who we have 64. Our rankings aren't a projection. Oh, I want to make that clear. It's not a mock draft. We're not saying that this guy's going to... We're right. doing it from the perspective of, if we're building our own draft list, this is how we're going to go about it. I'm not going to guarantee that a goalie goes in the first two rounds this year. Again, we've seen it in past years where it's been a situation where, okay, most of the top-end goalies are ranked in the third round. A team selects in the second. Then you see two or three or four come off the board. But I don't know if this is necessarily a draft crop that gets... I mean, don't get me wrong. Jordan Sigalet's going to be excited about 15 guys. He's going to find guys. He's going to find value. But there aren't a whole lot of guys that are blessed with elite, elite, number one, surefire pedigrees. The one guy I'd be curious to keep an eye on is Ivan Junin. He played in the MHL this past season. He's a guy that David Phillips, one of our goaltending scouts, absolutely loves. One of his favorites. Incredible athleticism, incredible flexibility, challenges every puck, quick moving around his crease. He's one of those guys that I'll be curious. He's not going to be the first goalie off the board, but depending on if he goes in the mid-100s, is going to be a real good value pick for whoever gets him.
Going to combine a couple of questions here. One from Mark and one from John in Sherwood Park. I'll read them both. John in Sherwood Park says, my question would be about Conroy continuing the trend from last year of drafting size. I'd be happy if someone like Cole Beaudoin was But he's an OHL guy, so you never... Anyway, was available at number 28. And then Mark says, Aaron, what about Cole Beaudoin or Sacha Boisvert at number 28? Both talking about that number 28 overall selection. For sake of reference, you have Boisvert of the USHL at number 26. You have Beaudoin at number 58 overall.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me either. I just want to go back to the Craig Conroy and drafting size. Certainly in the 2023 draft, the Flames got big prospects, whether it was Lipinski, whether it was Honzig, whether it was Suneyev. But those players also had skill. And that's not to say that the two players mentioned, Boisvert and Beaudoin, don't have skill. It's not going to be the determining factor. You're not just going to go out and use a first-round pick on a guy that's 6'6 because he's 6'6. These are players that do have some skill as well. So that's the caveat, is it's great if they have size. And if you're deciding between two players you have at, you know, 7 on your list and 8 on your list, chances are the bigger player is going to be the 7, but they also have to bring something to the table. They can't just bring their size. We've seen that that doesn't work. It didn't work 8 years ago in the NHL. It's not going to work in 2024-25. No disrespect to Hunter Smith.
Oh,
he had the size. Keegan Kanzig, he had the size. There wasn't necessarily a lot that went along with the rest of the package. So you can't just swing for the fences on a guy that's got good vitals. They have to bring something else to the game. Those two players do.
I like this one. Says, would you take a chance on Justin Poirier, second or third rounder? Justin Poirier, of course, the younger brother of Flames prospect Jeremy Poirier. We spoke with Jeremy during the playoffs and asked him a bunch of questions about Justin.
Yep.
And Justin Poirier is available in this year's draft. He is out of Baie-Comeau in the queue, and he is your 69th ranked player.
Yeah, as you mentioned, brother Jeremy. And Jeremy gave a really good scouting report. His shot is incredible. He's probably got a top five-ish release in this draft. That's how you score 51 goals in 68 games in the queue. The queue isn't as offensive as it once was. Like, if you're going a point, you know, 1.25 points per game in your draft year in the queue, you're doing quite well. The question will be if the Flames are going to use a pick on him. Chances are it's probably going to have to be their latter of the second round picks, because I can see the situation. The latter of the second round pick. I'm not saying the second first round pick, just to be clear, because in my own head it sounded like I was saying the second first round pick, because Poirier is going to be one of those guys that I think once you get outside of the first round, what is the skill that's going to get you to the NHL? What's going to make you an NHL player? What are you banking on? It's Justin Poirier's shot and his offensive ability, and then you try to round out the rest of the game. Now, the red flag on Justin Poirier is he's only 5'7". And even in the queue, there were times when he had issues raising his battle level to compete against a defenseman that's 6'2", 200 pounds. So there are some areas of his game that you need to help along. There are some areas of the game that he's going to need to help himself along in terms of strength and lower body development. But maybe he's a little bit slept on. Central Scouting has him at 82 among North American skaters. We've got him at 69 overall. I don't imagine a situation where he's going to be available to the Flames in, say, the fourth round. I'm not even certain he'll get to the third round, just because once you get outside that first round, you need to have a prospect that has a defining skill. And sometimes you get players that have okay across the board, but nothing that pops out. Poirier has something that pops out, and I think that that's going to make him a coveted prospect that goes probably a little bit higher than projected.
So here's an interesting one from Brett. Calgary needs to be adding size and speed. We've seen prior management picking smaller guys, and in my opinion, Calgary's too small of a team. Why would Calgary not be looking at Dean Letourneau at number 28? Now, Dean Letourneau is out of St. Andrews College. You have him ranked 135th on your list. So for FC Hockey's, look, there's never really such thing as a reach, because every draft guide is different, or every draft.
Well, and even
is
look at the Toronto Maple Leafs drafting Easton Cowan, who was ranked in the hundreds.
And he's
He's looking pretty good right now.
Would that be a reach, though, in your opinion?
It wouldn't. Because I just know how valued he is in the public sphere. Like, we are far and away the lowest agency on him. And he absolutely, absolutely shredded the Canadian high school hockey circuit, with 127 points in 56 games. But we also watched his two games in the USHL with the Sioux Falls Stampede, which is a good step up from Canadian high school hockey. And you didn't see a lot of what you saw against his high school opponents. You know, that's a U18 league, so you're one of the older players in that league versus the USHL, where you're facing 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds. That jump to the USHL did not look great for him. He's slated to play at Boston College next season with the departure of Will Smith signing with the San Jose Sharks. That's going to be a massive challenge for him. He absolutely has the size. He grades across the board as pretty good at everything. But it just, we had four different scouts watch him in his two USHL games, and none of us would go to bat to raising his ranking in on our list. And to me, that was a little bit of a hesitation. That, to me, is almost drafting the vitals and hoping the rest comes around. But for me, what I saw in those two USHL games with the Sioux Falls Stampede didn't give me a lot of confidence that he might make the NHL one day. He certainly got the physical dimensions, and that's a league where you have to prove you can't play in if you're a big guy, and you have to prove that you can if you're a small guy. But I don't even know if he hits his stride with the team that drafts him versus being a guy that finds it in his mid to late 20s when he's with a different organization.
This says Jankowski was a reach. That comes from Kelly. Probably in hindsight.
But you know what? Going back to that draft, fair. There were murmurs that a team in the late 20s was going to take him. So, like, not completely off. Like, the Calgary Flames weren't the only team thinking of Mark Jankowski as a first-round pick. They were the ones that declared him the next Joe Nieuwendyk, which probably didn't do any favors.
Probably didn't do him a lot of favors. Anyway,
but
I digress.
Wasn't as big of a reach as you would think from the outside.
Somebody else says, how dare there be another Dan and Cochran from Dan and Cochran. This from Sean and Dalhousie. I think probably talking about the number 28 overall pick. What about local product Andrew Basha of the Medicine Hat Tigers? You have him ranked number 37. He would very much be in the realm of the 28th overall pick.
Yeah, he's definitely in that wheelhouse for sure. Played with the Medicine Hat Tigers this year. We actually, in our draft guide, did a little assignment for our scouts, if you will, where we went by region. So Ontario Hockey League, Q, WHL, USHL, so on and so forth. Where you had to build a player. You could only use a player once. So if you were using Berkeley Catton for skating, for example, you can't use him for any other attribute. Puck handling, Caden Lindstrom. Andrew Basha was our player in terms of the playmaking element from the Western Hockey League. Like, he's a player that wouldn't shock me at all that goes in that 20 to 25 window. he's certainly a player that'll be on the radar for the Calgary Flames. Having literally come through the Saddle Dome a couple of times over the course of the last season, he's definitely a name to keep an eye on if you're a Flames fan.
That was good stuff. I think we're I think that we're all wrapped up, my friend. Great stuff on the text line. Any stragglers? You know what? There's one more that we can get to before we wrap things up, just because we like to get in as many as we can. And another local product or local of local interest. What about Miguel Marquez of the Lethbridge Hurricanes? You have him ranked number 70 on your draft board.
He's a player that, for our perspective, from my perspective as well, is defined by his shot and his hockey sense. Those are his two best attributes. And when you want to talk about having defining traits, those aren't two bad ones to sort of build a profile around. Now, we do have some questions about his skating, about his playmaking ability, but he excels in scoring. He's got a quick release, smart positioning. He knows how to protect the puck. He knows how to use his body efficiently. The one thing that does give me pause, though, is that skating ability and how it translates to the next level.
And Charlie Ellix, a Calgary product as well. He plays for the Brandon Wheat Kings in the Western Hockey League. FC Hockey has him ranked at number 38, so he could be in that number 28 range as well.
Yeah, he was one, I believe, in our midterm we had somewhere around early 20s as well. And fell. He didn't have the best U18s, if I'm remembering correctly. He's a guy, though, that is a right-shot defenseman. He can skate. He can kind of do it all. His calling card, I think, at the next level is going to be more on the defensive side of the puck than it will be the offensive side. But he's certainly in that tier of Pulkkinen, Kiviharu, a couple of other defensemen that are going to be available late in that first round. That, again, as much as I'm curious as well about finding out about the top six or the top 7D in the order they go in the first 12 to 14 picks of the draft, there is going to be a segment of defensemen that... It feels almost rude to call them the second tier of defensemen in this draft, but I mean, when you're comparing yourself to a Buyum or a Levshinov or a Soleyev, that's just going to be bound to happen. Just as curious to see how the next segment of defensemen go again, and whether or not we see a run on them, whether it's a pick and choose your own adventure from NHL teams, but he's certainly in that conversation.
Great stuff. Honestly, that was awesome. The FC Hockey Draft Guide is available at NHLEntryDraft.com right now. The promo code is SN960. That'll get you 40% off the FC Draft Guide with 201 complete profiles, a look ahead to next year's draft, best in class from the leagues, all of it. There's a print-friendly version. There's a tablet-friendly version. It really is creme de la creme of the draft guides out there. One more time, NHLEntryDraft.com for 40% off the guide and site-wide. Use the promo code SN960.
And if you just want to have a little fun, we just released a mock draft. We will be releasing our scout survey here in the next couple of days. We've actually also, which is a fun feature, which gets a lot of traction on social media, we have a mock draft builder. So if you want to pick the Calgary Flames and play Craig Conroy, you can run a full 7-round mock draft over and over and over again until you get Tiege Ginla. Have fun, NHLEntryDraft.com.
Will there ever be one that Celebrini falls to 9?
No.
Okay.
It's programmed, so it's not possible for him to fall past 1.
Okay. So I just didn't know. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers, FC Hockey on Twitter at FC Hockey, and NHLEntryDraft.com is the website. I will see you. Next time I see you will be when you land in Las Vegas.
Are you picking me up at the airport?
I'm not.
Okay.
No. You can.
You'll leave me.
What? I'm going to put you on my back. I don't have a car down there. What am I going to do?
Come get you in an Uber? Assume Flames Talk budget assumes a limo service or something along those lines.
Art, get on it. That'll do it for this hour. This hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.